WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number two of the program here on Wednesday morning. And we've got a lot we're going to be discussing. But before we go any further, I want to remind everybody that today is National Fentanyl Awareness Day. And obviously, you know, it is something that struck our area very hard. The number of fentanyl overdose deaths that we've had in this area. And if you missed Jim Phillips' discussion with Tuesday DeRocher's a couple of weeks ago on Town Square Sunday, we have it available for you at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. If you go to the website and you click on the Town Square Sunday link at the top, like right at the top of the page there, you'll see Town Square Sunday. If you click on that, that's going to bring you to all of the podcasts and stories about Jim's different Town Square Sunday discussions. And you can find the story about Tuesday and the podcast as well. But the important reason why I want to mention this, as you know, you've heard her on this program, she lost both of her sons, Max and Caleb, to fentanyl overdoses. But also, she has started a new support group to help people called Hope After Loss. And they hold their meetings at New Life South Coast on Cove Road on the second and fourth Tuesdays of every month, beginning at 6:30 p.m. All the details and her contact information are all available for you in that story and in that podcast. So if you're someone that would like to take part and join that group, that information is there for you. I just want to make sure that I got that out there for you this morning. And let me know. You can always send me an email, tim at wbsm.com, if you can't find that information and you need it. I'll be happy to pass that on to you. 508-996-0500. Let's take a call here. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Well, we tease him a lot because we got him on the spot. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back.
Well, thank you from my favorite sweat hog.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's a very serious thing. And I thought, for some reason, I thought it was in October, but I think it's just overdose awareness was in October. I met her a couple of years ago when she was down at Custom House Square when they had the multiple agencies and stuff. And it's amazing. But what I wanted to kick in about today is since Friday, I live here on the Boulevard, North End, so it's a major corridor for first responders. But I've been seeing so many ambulances, fire trucks, police, big accident Monday morning up on 95, coming to the ramp to Route 18. Then a little after 10 o'clock, I was coming across the street from PND. And five cruisers on a line were shooting, and they went over near Haymack. And last night, if your newsroom hasn't found out about it, a five-car collision over on in front of Fathoms, with at least one person trapped. And then last night around 10 o'clock, a shooting on Griffin Court, a male got shot in the face.
Yeah, we're going to have to...
Responders have been waiting in these last 5 or 6 days.
I think we have to wait for the DA's office on that one, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah. But our guys are working, guys and girls are working major overtime. I'm seeing it and going, wow. In these last 4 or 5 years, I've actually spent some time getting to know some more of them better. When I used to work at the Red Cross, I was working with them on a consistent basis. But the last couple of years, through all different situations, plus the North End Neighborhood Association that meets on the first Monday of each month, except for in the summertime, July and August. So it's incredible. And as far as the overdoses, I had a relative pass away earlier this year from fentanyl. So it's near home. So I might go check in that group you just mentioned on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Yeah, I would recommend it. So the next one will be, because the one would have just happened last night, so the next one will be not this Tuesday, but the Tuesday after. But speaking of Tuesdays, Tuesday is available to talk to somebody anytime. Her contact info is in that story. So if you need to reach out to her, you can get a hold of her right there.
And as far as the Eaterville Railroad in that area, so hopefully the people who take that over to bring Timbiches Way up, it's smart enough to do other events there, like rent it out for like concerts or other stuff. Otherwise, it's like, why would you invest just for that?
I mean, that's what they were doing with the land where the fair was before. They didn't really do anything else with that land, and they seem to be financially viable, so.
Kind of crazy. Have a good day, my friend.
You as well. Take care. That is an interesting thing, is how is it going to change being in that new location? Because they already had traffic issues and parking issues at the previous site for King Richard's Fair. Now they're moving into a site that's down a residential road. And also, I believe, has less parking lot space. They were using Eaterville as an overflow parking lot for King Richard's Fair the last couple of years, because they got in trouble. They were going to lose their licenses from the town because of what was going on. And they had that emergency select board meeting, or maybe it was a licensing board, but they had an emergency. I think it was select board. They had an emergency meeting and they had to address these issues. And as part of addressing it, they created overflow parking with shuttle service from Eaterville. Now, what happens when you're in a smaller parking lot and you've got the same amount of people wanting to come? And they're going to be blocking that road. And what I find, I haven't been able to talk to the King Richard's Fair people about this. There's new ownership, but there's the same person who is the manager, who's been managing it for, her family has been managing it forever. They're the original founders of the fair. And she's been in charge of it for the last 30 years. But there's just some functional questions that I think need to get answered, like, did this get approved by the town? Did the town approve this move, or did you just decide that you were going to do this and announce it after the fact? And by the way, I think they only really made an announcement because we broke the story here and forced their hand on it. Like, I don't know this to be the case, but I would bet if they had their druthers, they would have waited to have a better rollout of information for this, because that's why we've only gotten little bits of information, because they don't know what they're doing with it yet. They don't know how it's going to all work out yet. So I don't know if this is going to be something that, have they already gotten all the necessary approvals? Because I would have thought that would have been something that would have come up in the news of the town, that when somebody is covering Carver meetings, or maybe somebody's just not paying attention. Maybe they don't have somebody covering it, but I find it hard to believe there isn't someone keeping an eye media-wise on these Carver town meetings, the meetings within the town, not town meeting, but meetings within the town, to find out that these things were going to be happening. Because I can't imagine that the neighbors are happy. And a lot of people might not realize this, but there are two ways into that area. And one of them comes off Route 58. That's the way that most people know how to get into Eaterville. But you can also come through some back roads that come off Route 28. And you come down Route 28 and there's these residential roads that are windy. They go over a wooden bridge. I mean, there's all these different areas that I think it's a wooden bridge, but there's a bridge that I think will be even more likely to get back up and congested and block people in their own driveways as they're trying to leave. So I don't understand why this hasn't gotten more attention as to, the potential problems that this is going to be. I can't imagine that they've got everything solved for this. Unless they're just planning on, we're going to move and it's not going to be the same experience and we might just get less people as a result of it. But they're advocating for more people to come because now it's going to be better accessibility with tarred sidewalks. But then does that tick off the Renaissance people that love the fact that it was in the woods and you had to watch out for the stumps you were going to trip over and it felt more authentic? There's a lot of questions that remain. And I'm sure that King Richard's Fair will answer all these questions. They've always been good about answering everybody's concerns. It's just they're trying to do it on their own timeline. So I don't know. Hopefully today when I'm over there, I can get a little bit more information, but probably not. Because this is just the auction company coming in to conduct this auction. I don't know if anybody's going to be there from the park as part of it. I'm sure I'm not going to be the only member of the media there. Thought it was convenient that after I put out my story about it on Monday, there were another bunch of other stories. But anyway, there's going to be some people who are going to show up there that are going to be asking questions besides just myself. So do they send a representative out to answer those questions or do they, you know, hide in the museum building, hide in the office? What becomes of the rest of Edaville? They're auctioning off the rides. That's great. What about all the other stuff that is there? What about all the antique decorations that are in the museum building? There's not only is there stuff in the attic, but there's a whole huge area within the museum building that is packed to the gills, like packed with old Edaville decorations. And if you go on the story at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app about the auction, you scroll down there, you're going to see, you know, this behind the scenes tour of Edaville photo gallery where I went through and took as many photos as I could. I had a unique relationship with the people that ran Edaville over the last few years, not only the most recent ones, but the ones before that where I could kind of just, if I wanted to open the door and go in there, I could. So one day I was there and I said, I'm just going to walk in here and take a bunch of photos. And I did. And I published it. And nobody ever said, hey, take those down. You know, so you get to see parts of the park that nobody ever got to see. But what's going to happen now to all of that stuff? I feel like there's a lot of questions that still need to be answered. And without having those answers now, people are going to start making plans beyond King Richard's Fair and beyond Edaville. They're just going to take those things off their radar unless these questions get answered. Do I think that they're going to be able to make the Renaissance Fair work? I'm sure of it. This new group that's coming in as owners, they're smart enough to say the person that's been running this forever knows what they're doing. We're going to keep them involved in this. And hopefully improve some of the issues that have happened over the last few years as it's become more popular. But then what happens with the Edaville Park? Do you get people that show up in the end of August when the fair opens up who are standing out there with signs, you know, protesting the fact that you took away their beloved park? I don't know. Do people not care that much? I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm the only one that cares. All I know is every time I write a story about it, I see a lot of comments about it from people who are upset about what's going on. So I got to think there's a good pocket of people out there who want answers to these questions, just like me. 508-996-0500. I'm going to take a break here, and we'll be back in a few moments. Little letters to Cleo there for you. And, you know, I would say Edaville means so much to me. When I was in the eighth grade, I just moved to Wareham from Sandwich. And I did not have a very good time in Sandwich. Didn't have a lot of friends. You know, was kind of picked on a lot. Didn't wear the right clothes. Didn't have money like all the other kids. Was bullied. And when I moved to Wareham, it was kind of a different situation, but it took me a little while to kind of fit in and find my place. And here I am. I had only been here for maybe like a month or two. And and I didn't talk to any girls, but then there was a girl I wanted to ask out on a date, and I asked her out on a date. I asked her if she wanted to go to Edenville with my family before I asked my family if it was okay, by the way. And she said, no, that place is for kids. And I was like, oh well, I'm glad you said no then. And then all my life later, I didn't go on a date to Edenville until like 2 years ago. So it took me, I don't know, 30 something years to go on a date at Edenville. And it was, you know, perfectly fine. It wasn't a place that was for kids. She enjoyed it very much. So I thought that was funny that, you know, the first, and I think that might've really been the first time I asked a girl out. Although I did ask somebody to go to a carnival when I lived in Sandwich, but that was more like a friend thing. But there you go. 30 something years later, finally got a date to Edenville. And you know what? Everything that I thought would be great to do on that date turned out to be true. Riding the train, going on the scrambler together, getting a hot fried dough. All of it turned out to be exactly right. So, see, Erica, you missed out. All right. It is time to go in the newsroom and get all the top stories of the day from Mike Roberts. When we come back on the other side, we can talk with you. 508-996-0500. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we'll be joined by Kelly from Stevie's Wine and Spirits to talk about the upcoming halfway to Halloween tasting that's happening on Friday. I'll be there telling some spooky stories. Stephanie Burke will be there telling, giving psychic readings for a small fee. And we'll have things for you to try for free. So we'll talk about that coming up in a bit. Right now, though, let's go into the newsroom with Mike Roberts.
Cell phones soon will be banned statewide in classrooms in one Northeast state. Financial expectations are looking better in 2026, and the power is back in Portugal.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Amazon is disputing a report that says displaying how much tariffs add to the total costs of items will be posted on the website. This comes after Punchbowl News reported the online retail giant would do that. In a statement, Amazon said the ultra-low-cost part of its service that competes with Chinese sites like Temu considered adding import charges to its cart, but decided against it. Earlier, the White House criticized the reported move, with Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt calling it a hostile political act. President Trump marking his first 100 days in office. Here's Kristen Marks.
The administration is touting its success on the economy and immigration, although recent polling shows many Americans disapprove of some of Trump's policies when it comes to those issues. A new NBC News Stay Tuned poll finds that only 39% approve of Trump's tariffs, while his overall approval rating is 45%.
It's been 100 days of hell for American families.
Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer. Trump does fare better with immigration, with border crossings down 95% last month compared to March of last year, according to the administration. It's dealing with backlash, though, from some controversial deportations, including three American children to Honduras without due process.
The power is mostly back on in Spain and Portugal a day after a massive blackout disrupted life for tens of millions. Ross Cullen has an update.
The banking sector, schools, electricity and homes across the Iberian Peninsula and sporting events were also among those impacted by the sudden loss of power on Monday. The electricity supply between Spain and Portugal is highly interconnected and engineers worked through the night to bring substations back online.
About 3 in 10 Americans are expecting their household finances to improve in 2026.
A poll from The Economist YouGov found 30% of Americans expect their household finances will be better in April of 2026, marking the lowest share since October of last year. 28% of respondents said they think they'll be just about the same, while another 29% predicted that they would be worse off, and around 13% were unsure. The findings come as President Trump's handling of the economy remains in the negatives, despite an uptick after he temporarily paused many of his tariff plans. I'm Lisa Taylor.
A court appearance scheduled for yesterday for the man charged in connection with a massive wildfire in Ocean County, New Jersey, has been delayed. Scott Pringle has why.
Prosecutors accused 19-year-old Joseph Kling of Weartown of arson. They allege he started a bonfire in the woods with wooden pallets last Tuesday and left without properly putting the fire out. He's now scheduled on Friday to be in Ocean County Superior Court. The fire has burned more than 15,000 acres in Barnegat, Ocean, and Lacey Townships. Records show Kling was hit with a fine on January 17th for having an open fire in Lacey.
An arrest has been made in Iraq, linked to a terror attack in New Orleans that killed 14 people on New Year's Day. The suspected ISIS member will be prosecuted under the country's anti-terrorism laws. The two nations have been working together on the investigation. The driver who plowed into the French Quarter crowds was killed by police. The FBI said at the time that the army sergeant from Texas was radicalized and was an ISIS supporter. Schools across New York State will need to keep cell phones out of the classroom starting next academic year. Each school district is coming up with their own enforcement plan to keep phones out of class. Educators and students are weighing in to see if maybe a ban would help.
Oh, absolutely. We already started a no cell phone in this building, and it has improved socially for the students. They interact, they're involved in class. It's wonderful.
A lot of kids my age are usually trapped on the internet, so phone bans could actually help them pay attention more.
I don't like it. Phones are good to have, like, for safety reasons.
Governor Hochul says bell-to-bell cell phone ban is part of a $254 billion state budget. Adding getting rid of phones in school will improve concentration during class and the mental health of children.
WBSM Sports.
NBA playoffs, game 5 at the Garden last night. Celtics eliminate the Orlando Magic. 120-89, Celtics advance to the Eastern Conference semifinals. It was the Red Sox over the Blue Jays in Toronto last night, 10-2. Sox and Jays back in action tonight at 7:07.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
We're starting out a little dreary on this Wednesday morning. Clouds still around and a drip or a drop still not out of the question this morning, but things improve dramatically as we get into the afternoon. The cold front that was driving the not-so-pleasant weather is long gone by that point. That means not only is the weather considerably drier, but less cloudy as well. More sunshine this afternoon. Temperatures in the upper 60s and low 70s. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Christina Schallhoop on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content with the WBSM app.
I mean, I hope you mean kill them with kindness, Poe. There's no room for that kind of violence. But Poe is also very underrated. Go back and listen to her stuff. Very good. I was also disappointed over the last couple of days. I found out that I had missed the Sarah McLachlan tour for the 30th anniversary of her Fumbling Toward Ecstasy album. And I was like, why did I miss that completely? Why was it off my radar? So now if I want to go see any of those shows, the closest one will be in Montreal in October. But hey, maybe it's time for a road trip. I haven't been to Montreal since I was a kid. I went there once and only for a couple hours. So all I remember about it was getting stopped at the border and being asked if we had any fruits or vegetables. I don't remember anything else about. Oh, I do remember driving around the stadium for the Expos. But that's about it. That's all I remember. I went to Toronto a few years ago to film a TV show, to film Hotel Paranormal. That was an interesting experience. I was only there for a couple of days, but I got to see a good amount of the city because They put me up in a hotel in one spot and they had to drive me to the studios on the other, which turned out to be, so what happened was they wanted to put me up in kind of this like cheap hotel that's close to the production company studios. And at the time I was hosting the Midnight Society show every night. And I said, well, I've got to do my radio show from the hotel room. So I need you to put me in a hotel where I have hardwired internet in the room. I can't do it on Wi-Fi because it's unreliable and it drops out. I need a room with hardwired internet. So they started searching for a hotel they could put me up in that had that. And it was all the way on the other side of the city. And it was like this luxury hotel. And the rooms that had the hardwired internet were like these kind of fancy rooms. So I got to stay in a really nice place. So while other people that were coming into film were like in this like Motel 6 type place, I arrived there the first night, went up, they had a rooftop pool. And here it is. I'm in Toronto. It's January. It's like 10 degrees below zero. They had just had, no, I think it was 8 degrees above zero. They had just had a blizzard the weekend, I arrived on a Monday and they had a blizzard that weekend. So there was snow everywhere. And I just happened to offhand make a comment to the person at the front desk, like, oh, too bad the pool isn't open, huh? The rooftop pool. And they're like, no, it's heated. It's open all year. What? Yeah, the pool and the hot tub, they're open. You can go up there anytime. And so I went up there and they had the pool and the hot tub. And it's like at the top of the building, but then there's another side of the building that goes up higher. So on that portion of the building that's over to the side, they had a big like movie screen, like they were projecting a big screen of music videos and they had speakers blasting the music videos because you're 18 floors up. So I was like, all right, I'm doing this. I'm getting in this pool. And you just had to get from the door to the pool and then you get in the heated pool and everything was fine. But oh my God, was it freezing? And the whole thing was a sheet of ice. So here I am in like hotel slippers trying to get myself over this slippery ice into the pool, but it was worth it. I think I might have fallen a couple times, but it was worth it. And then here I am chilling out in the pool and sending photos to the other people that are stuck at the Motel 6, you know, watching basic cable or whatever they were doing. See, always hurts. Never hurts to have a special request when people are footing the bill, I guess. We've got some other things we can discuss this morning. I was talking earlier about my colonoscopy experience. That's why I was out yesterday. Thanks again to Paul Santos for filling in. It was totally fine, super easy, and I recommend it to anybody. If they tell you have to have one, don't be afraid of it. Everything was fine. No problems, no pain. They put you to sleep. You wake up, it's all over. No issues at all. So don't be afraid of it if they tell you you have to have one. In fact, I'm happy to do the one that they told me I got to go back and do in 5 years. Just that it's the prep stuff that isn't so great. It's no fun being hungry. And see, that's the thing, because I take this Mounjaro that helps with my hunger, but I had to stop taking it within a week of the procedure. So I actually stopped taking it 9 days before. And so, you know, my hunger wasn't as under control as it usually is. And here I am like dying for something to eat, just anything that's solid, as I'm having to eat this liquid diet. So I ended up getting some popsicles because that was on the approved list. And oh man, those must have been the best. They were pina colada popsicles and they must have been the best popsicles I've ever had because I ate three of them. And then last night I just got home and just slept. Because of the medication they give you to put you to sleep. But other than that, everything was fine. So they tell you to do it, absolutely do it. They give you the option to do the Cologuard instead, say no. Get the colonoscopy. Because as I've learned, it's far more accurate to have the colonoscopy. You could get a false negative from the Cologuard. So better to go. That way there, if there's any polyps in there, they can take them out all in once and have them tested, and we'll see what happens with mine that they pulled out. Hopefully it's not cancer, but if it is, we'll just tackle it the way we tackled the last cancer head on. 508-996-0500. Let me take a break here. We'll be back in a few moments.
I talk of revolution. You'd much rather brag. And if the decibels of this disenchanting discourse continue to dampen the day, the conference again and again and again and again as our sanity walks away.
And welcome back in. Hard to believe that a song written, released in 1994 would still be so accurate today. But there we go. White Discussion by Live. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing all right.
Yeah, I had the colonoscopy a couple of times. And first time I went, they didn't put you to sleep.
Oof.
But, they gave you that shot before. You didn't feel a thing. But I was awake and I watched it all on the screen. when they put the thing in, then I had a couple of polyps, but they were benign. But that was the first time I had gone. And then after that, they started putting you to sleep. I went again, and then I talk in my sleep, I guess. So the nurses were there. They're like, no, don't wake her up yet. She said, no, don't wake up yet. Don't wake up yet. They wanted to hear the end of the story. I don't know what I was saying, but they were cracking up laughing. No, don't wake up. What happened? I don't remember. I don't know what I was talking about, because I do talk in my sleep. Sometimes I woke myself up.
I know I talk in mine, but from what I've been told, I don't really make any sense. So I'm sure they were happy if I just woke up and they didn't have to listen to it anymore.
I had the endoscopy and that together, you know, to check your, inside of your stomach and that together, mm-hmm. like a skewer. And that came back fine, but I don't know why they had to do that. But yeah, my mind was the worst part with that. It was the big gallon thing, the powdered stuff you put in water.
Yeah, I put mine in Gatorade, so at least it was a little bit more tolerable.
Oh, this was a big plastic bottle. You could only put it in water. It was that was what they had then. It was powdered packages that you could have cherry or lime or whatever, mm-hmm. but made me nauseous anyway. But you had to drink all that before, you know, in the morning and all that stuff. And then I had the clear Jell-O and try to find a sugar-free clear Jell-O. I couldn't find any, but
yeah, you could only eat green or orange. You couldn't have the red.
Right. So I told the guy that. I told the doctor that on the phone. He said, "Well, you could have the red." He said, just do the red. I said, oh, God. And I can't stand broth. That broth.
I was swigging down mugs of that all day long on Monday.
Oh, yeah. You like that? I don't like it, but I didn't have much choice. I know. The popsicles are good. I love the popsicles.
I needed to have so much protein. And even though that only had like 1 gram of protein, at least it was something.
I know. I'm supposed to have that too. My A1C went down to a 5.8.
Nice.
Which is good. Yeah. Right, really, it was really quick. Well, it's been 6 for quite a while now. And then it went down to a 5.8 I had done last week. So that was good. And lost 17 pounds so far.
Congratulations.
Yeah, well, not like you. I'm on the other one.
Well, I mean, it's not, doesn't work the same way for everybody. And
yeah,
you know, I know. It took me a while to get to that number too, so.
Oh, you look great.
Thank you.
But anyway. All righty, I just thought I'd tell you my little stories.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. Yours will be benign, too.
I hope so.
Next time you can watch it on TV.
I'm good. They sent me photos on the MyChart app, so you know, I can always post those up on my memories on Facebook next year.
There you go.
All right.
Have a good one.
You too.
Yeah, bye.
And yeah, I jokingly put up when I got out of surgery, because I was like, all right, you know, people are going to start checking in on me, and I don't want to respond to every message because I'm gonna go to sleep. Like, that was my plan. Like, as soon as I get home, I gotta go to sleep. I'm exhausted, not only from the medication, but from getting up too early and not getting enough sleep. So I said, I'll just put out a post and that should answer everybody's questions that I'm fine. And so I put up a picture that said, you know, scroll for pictures of my colon, and people were actually commenting like, it didn't load any of the other photos. I was like, that was a joke. I wasn't actually gonna put those up. Nobody actually wants to see that. Although one person said, no, I actually do want to see it. My wife is, or I don't know, radiologist or whatever. I was like, yeah, I'm still not going to post those. Thanks. But it is pretty impressive, the photos they can send you. You're like, oh, no, that's in full living color. high definition. I take selfies that don't come out that looking that good. So maybe next time somebody sends an app chat message telling me what a butthole I am, maybe I'll just have to change that to my profile picture. I guess you're right. I am nothing but a giant butthole. Here's the proof. All right. Well, like I said, if you are supposed to get one and you haven't, or if they tell you you need to get one, don't be afraid. Super easy. The only real complaint I had about it is that just that the prep time, you know, the having to get up at 3 a.m. to take the rest of it. I probably could have adjusted the times, and maybe if I took it at 5 p.m., the first batch, maybe I would have been okay to take the second batch at midnight. But I wanted to follow the instructions that they gave me. So I got up at 3 a.m., stayed awake for an hour, downed that as I was doing a little bit of work, and then got up again at 6. So I was more than happy to sleep the rest of the day. Now I'm rested, relaxed, and we'll find out what the results are when they get them back. 508-996-0500. We are waiting for information. You know, I've had a few people message me, you know, that there was a shooting, reportedly a homicide. And we are waiting to get back more information. But again, that's going to come from the district attorney's office if it was fatal. So I would assume, you know, we'll hear something after 9 o'clock in the morning when they come into the office. But we'll get you the information that we can. As I was mentioning earlier, New Bedford Light has a story where they dug a little bit deeper into those crime report numbers that were released last week. Mayor Mitchell will be in with Chris later on today. I'm sure they will be talking about that report. I had reached out to the mayor's office for comment on it. And basically what they said was, you know, the mayor is going to be a little hard to get a hold of today. The regular spokesperson, Jonathan Darling, was on vacation. And they said, you know, the mayor will address it when he's on with Chris. So you'll hear that. Also, I don't know if you read the New Bedford Light story. And I didn't get to listen to Chris's show yesterday, so I don't know if he addressed it. But Chris was kind of front and center of the New Bedford Light's reporting on the city council's vote regarding the moving up of the preliminary election. And the story by Colin Hogan had no problem basically alluding to the idea that, you know, Chris McCarthy made that happen. And I don't think any of the talk radio hosts here, and again, this is not to diminish us or diminish the listening audience, but I don't think any city councilor should be making their decision based on what Chris McCarthy says on the radio or what callers say on the radio. That's not indicative of what the New Bedford electorate want to see happen. You know, there's more people out there than just the people that listen to the station. But they must have been hearing it from more than just the listeners if they were making that decision, I would hope. But now they've put the city elections office and the Secretary of State's office in a very tough position to be able to pull off this mail-in voting. And as I was saying, when you've got the low voter turnout that the city has, you should be doing more to encourage voting, not restricting it. But I'm sure Chris will talk more about that coming up later on, and we can talk more about it in the next hour. But right now, I'm going to take my final break for this one. We'll be back in a few. And the money will be talking for you starting in the next hour. We're going to have your first Money Talks cash code of the day. Your first shot at winning $1,000 coming up in the next hour. And we'll have one every hour all the way through the 5 o'clock hour. And then tomorrow is $10,000 Thursday. So tomorrow you have a shot at 10 grand. It'll be our final $10,000 Thursday. We've only got a couple days left for you to win with Money Talks on WBSM, brought to you by Long Moving and Storage. And I think we're going to have a lot of people in these last couple of days, a flurry of entries from people who want to make that money talk. And I wish you luck. I hope it works out. And I hope that you've got some